The words of God given to us today are Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. It is on page 401 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me, dressed in white, for they are worthy. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. Have you heard about the Midas touch? According to the Greek myths, Midas was the king of Phrygia, a country in Asia Minor. He was very calculating, thorough, and greedy. He didn't even glance at things that were not beneficial for him. One day, his subjects brought an old man who was drunk and had been sleeping in the woods nearby. The subjects told Midas that they were unsure about the old man's identity, and from his ramblings, they thought that he might be a spy from a neighboring country. Yet, at a sight, Midas recognized the old man. He was Silenus, the teacher of Dionysus, the god of wine. For 10 days, Midas treated him hospitably, entertaining him for 10 days, and even presented him a gift when it was time for him to return home. After hearing what happened to Silenus, Dionysus called on Midas and offered him his choice of whatever reward he wished for. Midas asked that whatever he might touch be changed into gold. He then hastened to test whether his wish had come true. When he touched the stone on the road, it immediately turned into gold. He touched a twig, and it turned into a golden twig. And he touched the head of barley, and all of a sudden, it turned into a golden head of barley. After he returned to the palace, when he picked an apple from the tree in his garden, it also turned into a golden apple. Midas rejoiced in his new power and wanted to boast about it to his family and his subjects. So he held a feast in the palace, where he proudly touched a column, and it turned into gold. His servants dropped their jaws and stared in awe. Right about then, Midas felt very hungry. He had been so overjoyed with his new power that he had even forgotten to eat. When the food came out, he quickly picked up some meat and put it in his mouth. But it turned into gold. He felt as if he was chewing on stone. Flustered and thirsty, he poured some wine into his glass, only to find that it has turned into gold even before it touched his lips. Then King Midas realized the gravity of his situation. The more he thought about it, this gift was not something good, but rather a curse. Troubled by his new power, Midas fell ill and was bedridden for several days. When his only daughter heard of her father's illness, she came to pay him a visit. He was very glad to see her, and King Midas forgot about his power and embraced the princess. And at that moment, she turned into gold as well. Then Midas went to Dionysus and asked him for forgiveness and begged him to take his power away. Dionysus saw how much Midas regretted his wish and took pity on him. So he told Midas to wash his mind and body in the river Pactolus. When Midas did so, his hands returned to normal once again. People say when he touched the waters, his power flowed into the river, and the river sands turned into gold. And this is why the river Pactolus was so rich in gold. Just as the Han River flows through the center of Seoul, the river Pactolus flowed through the center of Sardis. So it's needless to say that the gold found in the river allowed Sardis to accumulate massive wealth. Also, Phrygia, which King Midas ruled, was a country that belonged to the kingdom of Lydia. The Phrygians raised a lot of sheep and brought them to Sardis, which was the capital city of Lydia, and sold them. So Sardis had a huge wool market. Moreover, it was the place where techniques to dye wool was developed. Sardis and Thyatira were the two major fabric dye markets in Asia Minor. Because Sardis was such a rich city, it probably seemed prosperous and lively on the surface. And the church in the middle of the city probably seemed prosperous and alive as well. But it was different in God's eyes. Verse 1 of today's text says, "To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead." The Lord called himself the one who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. The seven spirits refer to the Holy Spirit, and the seven stars mean the angels who look after the churches. During the last Wednesday Bible study, Pastor Lee Young Ran explained to us about the meaning of number seven that appears in the Bible frequently. Number seven is used in relation to God's will or God's work. The Israelites marched around the city of Jericho for 7 days. For 6 days, they marched around once, and on the last day, they marched around the city 7 times. When the priests blew the horns and the Israelites shouted, the walls of the city collapsed. If the walls seemed to collapse gradually as the Israelites marched around the city, in other words, if on the first day the walls began to crack, only to become more apparent in the couple of following days, and stones began to fall out of the walls, and the walls collapsed completely on the last day, then the history may record that it was the Israelites who conquered Jericho. Just as bridges that were not properly built collapse when they are no longer able to stand the weight of cars, people might say that the vibrations from the weight of the Israelites who marched around the city of Jericho made the walls collapse. However, when the Israelites marched around the city once a day for 6 days and 7 times on the seventh day for a total of 13 times, Nothing had changed in the city. The city collapsing when the Israelites blew their horns and shouted can only be explained as a work of God. Also, number 7 symbolizes completion, the end, and the achievement. After creating the world, God rested on the 7th day. This means that his work of creation was completed, finished, and wholly achieved on the 7th day. The fact that God rested on the 7th day means that creation has been completed. Therefore, observing the Sabbath does not only mean resting, as people worked hard for 6 days, but it is also a confession of faith in the completion of God's work of creation. Our Lord, who wholly provides for and completes the world according to his plan, told the church of Sardis, "I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead." The people back then have said the church of Sardis was alive. And the church of Sardis also thought so. But the Lord told the church of Sardis, "You are dead." In the church of Ephesus, the tide of the Nicolaitans had flowed in. In the church of Pergamum, the teachings of the Nicolaitans and Balaam were surging in. And in the church of Thyatira, people passionately followed Jezebel, a woman who called herself a prophet. The heathenish and heretical teachings ailed the churches. However, there were no such uncanonical events taking place in the church of Sardis. Moreover, Sardis was for emperor worship to the point they applied to have a temple for emperor worship to be built in the city, even though they were not selected in the end. Yet, they did not oppress their people by allowing them to trade only with a certificate of emperor worship. Also, the Jews did not criticize and slander the Christians of Sardis, unlike they had for the Christians in Smyrna. There were no heretical teachings, no threats of emperor worship, and no slanders of the Jews in the church of Sardis. And there were a lot going on in the church, which made the church look alive. Also, it was a very prominent church, which was known to a lot of people. Yet the Lord said it was dead. The Lord's words of love to make the church of Sardis come alive continue in verses 2 and 3. "Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you." The Lord had 5 orders to make the church of Sardis come alive. First, wake up. Second, strengthen. Third, remember. Fourth, hold fast. And fifth, repent. Being awake is something the Bible consistently reminds us. Hoping to keep awake, David prayed as in Psalm chapter 13, verses 3 and 4. "Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall." It is a lot easier to sleep than be awake spiritually. Yet falling asleep means defeat. Although there is a world of difference between sleeping and being dead, one thing is in common. The subject is left defenseless. Some people might mistakenly believe that they are leading a religious life, even though they might be spiritually asleep. And the devil will probably let them be, since there is no reason to wake them up. Jesus had the Last Supper with his disciples, with whom he spent 3 years in joy and sorrow. However, Judas pretended as if nothing was wrong, even though he had decided to betray Jesus. Peter and the other disciples vowed that they won't deny Jesus, even at the point of death. But those were only words. Jesus took Peter, Jacob, and John to Gethsemane and told them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, so stay here and keep watch with me." But when Jesus returned from his prayers, he found all of them asleep. Seeing them in such a state, Jesus said, in Matthew chapter 26, verses 40 and 41, "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." The best way to keep from falling into temptation is by staying awake and praying. Jesus is saying that if we do not stay awake and pray, then we cannot but fall into temptation. Apostle Paul also admonishes us in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. "And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." The ultimate difference between Christians and non-Christians is our perspective of eternity. We know that God has set a time. One day, God will tell us to stop and get out. No one knows when that will be, and no one can be exempt from it. Thinking God will call us to Him sooner than later, we will still have a long way to go. And leading our lives through fellowship with God and leading faithful life is what being awake is. Apostle Peter also advises us, as in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." In the TV show like The Animal Kingdom, lions do not thoughtlessly run after a herd of buffaloes, zebras, or gnus, and hunt down the weakest of the bunch. Instead, the lions target the ones that look young or weak and run at them with all their might. If the lion pounces at the zebra and puts its paws on its back, the zebra cannot move. Then immediately, the lion attacks its neck and kills it. Lions don't only kill and eat zebras. Larger animals are also afraid of lions because lions don't travel alone but in groups. Buffaloes are much bigger than lions. But 6 to 7 lions attack a buffalo together, with one biting its ear and another its tail, and etc. And finally, when the buffalo loses its strength and falls, the lions kill it completely. Sometimes lions attack giraffes, small elephants, and other animals. This is very similar to the attacks that Satan performs against us. That's why we have to stay awake. The Church of Sardis did not stay alert as to stay away from the sleep of death. And even when they fell into temptation, they did not realize that it was because they were not awake. And even when they were spiritually asleep, they thought it was okay. So even though the devil went around looking to devour their prey like roaring lions, the Christians of the Church of Sardis did not know that they were being preyed upon. And that is the reason the Lord chastised them for being Christians and a church only in name. Being awake is the same as keeping and growing your faith. Also, the Lord told the Church of Sardis to strengthen what remains. After grass, barley, trees, and other plants are planted, you have to tread them in so that they can properly take root. This is a way to strengthen the plants. And just like that, strengthening faith so that it will properly take root and grow is necessary. Not long after Apostle Paul returned to Antioch from his second missionary trip, he left again for his third missionary trip. And the third mission trip is described in Acts chapter 18, verse 23. Paul set out from there and traveled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. The region of Galatia and Phrygia referred to Apostle Paul's hometown, Tarsus, Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, and Pisidian Antioch. These are all cities that Paul visited on his second mission trip. When Paul left for the third mission trip, he did not go to new places to spread the gospel, but instead he returned to the places where he had already been to spread the word of God, so that he can encourage those who met Jesus before and helped them strengthen their faith. Moreover, Apostle Paul longed to meet the Christians at the church in Rome when he sent them letters. Romans chapter 1 verse 11 testifies as to the reason why. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. The reason Apostle Paul longed to meet the people of the Roman Church, whom he had never met, was to share some spiritual gift with them. Even though what they had looked great and beautiful, what is human cannot strengthen the people of the Roman Church. So Paul wanted to share the spiritual gift from God to strengthen their faith. It is unknown how the Church of Sardis received the gospel, but they must have been thankful and moved when they first heard the gospel. However, they had failed to strengthen it, and this made their faith die away. When we go to a retreat or a seminar, we can be moved by the Word of God. But it is not right to keep your faith only through such retreats and seminars. The right way to strengthen your faith is to have fellowship with the Lord through regular prayers and meditation of the Word every day. Let me read verse 2 again. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Jesus told the church in Sardis to wake up and strengthen what is about to die because their life and faith were not complete before God. People did not think that the church of Sardis was dead. It was a well-known church. In today's terms, the church we recognize by many, the church was recognized by many and did many activities. However, they were not complete. They were only complete in the sight of people. The Greek word for complete is plero, which mainly conveys the meaning of being filled. Although deeds of the church in Sardis may appear as full in the sight of people, it was empty in the sight of the Lord. The deeds of the church of Sardis were like a puffy bun. Because it appeared inflated on the outside, it looked as if it would contain a lot of filling inside, but in fact, the inside was completely empty. Puffy buns are at least tasty, even though they are empty inside. But the church of Sardis was empty, like salt, which has lost its saltiness. What the church in Sardis really needed was not wealth from the Midas touch and the Midas hand, but life through God's hand and God's touch. When Prophet Samuel visited the house of Jesse in Bethlehem to anoint a king after Saul, and saw Eliab, the first son of Jesse, he thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But at that moment, the Lord said to Samuel as follows. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. People of the Church of Sardis looked at the outward appearance. The church had wealth and fame. However, the Lord looked at the heart of the Church of Sardis, and in their heart lied death. To them, the Lord commanded, "Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die." People look at the outward appearance of our churches, but the Lord looks at our hearts and tells us, "Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die." Let us pray. Father God, when Midas saw that everything he touched turned into gold, he thought that he was the most blessed. However, only after he learned that he cannot eat or drink and turned his daughter into gold, he learned that it was not a blessing but a curse. Yet today, many people want to have the Midas touch in their field. They think that that is the best way to succeed in their fields and gain fame. And such view has also influenced Christians that we think that you will recognize us if we gain more wealth and fame. Please let us shed our mistaken view and give us the courage to stand before you. Help us not forget that we cannot be recognized by you unless our heart is not righteous and complete, even though we may be recognized by people who only look at the outward appearance. Help us stay awake for our eternal life in God in order to become living persons and not dead persons. And help us to become your children whose life and faith are strengthened by prayer, your words, and worship, so that our lives and faith may be living and not dead in your sight. Help us live by the hand and touch of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.